Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Legal Aid Works and Ann Klockner with us this morning. Ann, it is good to have you back this morning. We didn't get together last week. I missed you, so you're back this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. I missed you too, Ted, and I'm glad to be back.
We've got lots to talk about, and we'll start off with unemployment insurance. This was a topic we have talked about much during this the pandemic, but a lot of for people who haven't been paying attention or who have always thought, well, that would never apply to me because of what I do or this or that. Lots of different changes now with unemployment insurance. So I'll throw that pitch to you first of all, and we'll start off with that.
I think it's such an important topic. We all sometimes need help, and especially when we haven't been used to getting help before. Some of these systems, like unemployment insurance, it's been around for a long time, are unfamiliar to us. So let me walk you through just two or three really important things that people need to know. First of all, typical unemployment benefits are filed through your state. The big change in regular, normal unemployment is that you get an extra $600 a week. It's automatically added on to whatever else you would be getting. And that started at the end of March, and that extra $600 goes through the end of July. And if you run out of your normal run of unemployment benefits, you have an extra 13 weeks. The CARES Act extends state unemployment programs by 13 weeks for those who have exhausted their regular allowance. So that's the big, huge change in regular unemployment. The second big change is the new category that they came up with. They just made this one up. It's called the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, PUA. There has to be an acronym for everything.
Of course.
And that is for those who are ineligible for regular unemployment. So these are folks who are self-employed, independent contractors, freelancers, people who are just getting part-time work, workers without a long enough history to qualify for unemployment. That runs from, it actually started January, at the end of January, through the end of this year. So you're also eligible for retroactive benefits. That means if you apply today and you could have been qualifying as of the end of January, you can get retroactive benefits. You can access these special benefits for 39 weeks. And it's really broad who is covered. You're eligible if you're affected by COVID, either diagnosed, a member of your family is diagnosed, you're providing care for someone with a diagnosis of COVID-19, you've got somebody in your household who can't attend school or work because of COVID that you have to take care of. It really is very broad. So what I would suggest for most people is just try to apply, figure out through the Virginia Employment Commission's website whether you can qualify or not, but I would say at least explore it. That's the big message here, is either try for regular unemployment if your job just stopped, see if you can apply to that pandemic unemployment assistance.
And I guess, and like you say, for especially for the on the pandemic unemployment assistance end of things, if you may be that independent contractor or whatever it may be, and never fit what you did. Now it does, and it's worth looking into. So I'm glad we've talked about this over the weeks, just because I think a lot of people would just assume I've got to find something else because I don't fit into unemployment, but you do.
And they absolutely set it up exactly because of that, because they knew that a lot of people under normal circumstances would fall through the cracks because unemployment benefits are very narrowly defined under normal circumstances. So this opens it up a little bit. Everybody realizes this is an extraordinary time. Is this going to last forever? Probably not. They are going to close this down at some point. It's not something that they're going to sustain, you know, for the next 20, 30 years, nothing like that. It's just to deal with this extraordinary circumstance and to get everybody past that to the point where they can get on their feet again.
Now, you mentioned when we talked about the extra $600 that gets added on, and that goes through the end of July. Say I'm applying right now, will that still only be into the end of July, or if I'm jumping on to it right now, do I still get the full shot of this because I'm starting right now?
Right now, as far as everyone has been told, and things change every day, it will end on July 31st.
Oh, okay.
That extra 600. But I don't know. Maybe they're going to define it that anyone who has applied by July 31st is going to qualify for,
The
full time of getting that extra 600. These are all things that they have not really specified real closely, and so we're looking at the rules as they're developing them. But for right now, I would say you have literally nothing to lose by at least exploring that option. If you are unemployed, if anyone you know is unemployed, and you can give them this information and just try it out. Just see if it works. If it doesn't work, at least you've explored that option.
Yeah. And like you say, these are extraordinary times. And that's why these particular measures were put in, just because there are so many people right now in a pinch.
And we see that on lots of different levels. So the State Corporation Commission, which runs our utilities, has decreed and ordered that utilities it regulates can't be terminated during this crisis. We don't know when that will end, but at least for now, they can't cut off utilities. What was especially concerning to us in March was, of course, heat, hot water,
yeah,
you know, things like that. Now we're starting to think about air conditioning, trying to get cool. But also just basic sanitation. You need that utility. Obviously, you need to pay your bills. It'd be great to be able to do that. But when you're really struggling, sometimes you have to do a little bit of juggling at the end of each month to pay the next month's bills. So at least for now, the cutoff of utilities is on hold.
Ann Klockner here. Legal Aid Works is our focus this morning. LegalAidWorks.org is the website to find out all the good work they do. They've got offices in Fredericksburg, Tappahannock, and Culpeper. We'll talk about Legal Aid Works and what they do and how you can benefit when we come back with Ann Klockner on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Shue.
Ann Klockner here with Legal Aid Works. And for the person who doesn't know about Legal Aid Works and all the good things you do, describe what you do. I mentioned you've got offices in Fredericksburg, Tappahannock, and Culpeper. You have lawyers that they almost walk on water sometimes. And you do a lot of good for in the community for a lot of people.
I'm so glad you're focusing on how great our lawyers are. I think they really are unsung heroes. They do a lot with very little, and they're just very inspiring to be around. What we do is we're a private nonprofit, and we exist just because it bugs us when people are treated differently in the civil court system simply because they don't have the money for a lawyer. We try to level the playing field so that people who go into civil court are treated fairly. The main thing to know about why we do what we do is that there's no right to a free lawyer when you're poor and you have a civil legal problem. That right to a free lawyer only comes into play when you are accused of a crime. So when you are facing homelessness, an illegal eviction, a foreclosure that didn't follow the rules, a denial of your benefits that was wrong, a custody case, a support case, going to get a civil protective order when you're a domestic violence victim, you have to go in on your own if you can't afford a lawyer. And most of the time, that means even if you have the law on your side and the facts on your side, you are going to be at a disadvantage because you don't know how the rules work and how the court works and how the rules of evidence work and how to subpoena somebody and all those complicated things. So we step in just to try to fill that justice gap. We do it as a nonprofit, so that means we're dependent on the support of people who can donate, fundraisers, applying for grants, just like any other nonprofit. And so we have 8 lawyers covering 17 counties and 51 courts, and we kept pretty busy. And you'd be surprised how busy we are even in the middle of the pandemic.
Oh, I'm sure, just because these kind of issues don't just stop. And but the fact that you have that few lawyers and in that many localities to me is just mind-boggling. And you've brought over the years have brought a number of your lawyers through here, and we've done shows, and I'm just always impressed with just how on the ball they are and just how smart they are with a lot of these things. And boy, I mean, when someone goes into court with one of your lawyers, that you've got to feel good that, you know, you've got one of the best with you.
Well, we certainly have a lot of experience. So when you have that kind of volume to deal with, we just know stuff. We're in court a lot, and we get to see things over and over and over again. And we are really focused on the kind of work that we do. So we're pretty much the experts in this area, and I'm just really proud of our staff because they work really hard under difficult conditions, and they do it because they have a passion for it. It's a mission. It's just like anybody who just feels inspired to do something, even though it's tough. Sometimes the very fact that it's tough is the inspiring part, because you know that the people who need your help aren't going to get it unless you step in.
Exactly. And when you talk about difficult conditions, you know, March and before that were difficult. Now it really is. And you've continued on, even though the office itself, the walking into the office is not available, but your team is still there doing what you can.
You bet. And there's two reasons why we kept going. One is that we had clients who have cases, and they didn't go away. They still had their issues that had to be sorted out. It sometimes made it even more difficult in a legal sense because they couldn't get into court initially when the courts were absolutely closed down. But there were also cases that had to go forward because they were emergencies, like civil protective orders for domestic violence victims. So we've been in court throughout. The challenge for us was doing that while juggling the transition to work remotely from home. Luckily, and I just am astonished at this, our staff all was able, were all able to find a reliable source for the internet. You know, that's not always a given in our area. We don't have broadband everywhere, and we don't have, you know, fiber optic cable that goes everywhere. So our staff is spread out over maybe a 200-250 mile spread. And for all of those 250 miles, for us to be able to say that all of them can be at home and be able to work effectively has been astonishing. And it took a lot of doing. Our staff was just amazing how they pivoted. They just had to. And they did it very quickly, pretty much overnight. And we solved a lot of tech problems. I want to give a shout-out to the contractor who helps us all the time. We have a wonderful company called Infinity Technologies, and they help us solve all the tech problems that we have.
They help us too. So we have a mutual friend there. Has it also been difficult with some of your clients being in areas that don't always have the type of cell service, or they may not have internet access like you would need? And I would think that adds another layer to all of this.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. That is a huge thing. We don't take that for granted at all. Under any normal circumstances, it's difficult for our clients to have access to the internet, to be able to send something to us. The courts, for example, want you to fax things. How can somebody who's a low-income person fax something? So we had to solve a lot of problems just in terms of communication. We had a few client consults in the parking lot between two cars, you know, that were parked in, you know, adjoining spaces. We've had our clients use our Dropbox. We have a Dropbox that's secured and locked and safe, and they put their documents in there, and then we come the next day and pick them up. So we've had to be nimble about it. We had to figure out 15 different ways to do something that we normally would have done just one or two ways, just to give our clients that sense of, look, we can figure something out. We can come up with a way to get a copy of that document for you. You know, whatever it is that we need, we'll figure out a way. We just transitioned. I think I mentioned a few shows back that we got some very generous funding from the Community Foundation here to help us qualify for and do the training for becoming an e-notary. So being able to notarize documents remotely has been really huge.
Well, you know, things like that, with the things like the Community Foundation coming through, or Rappahannock United Way and their Alice Fund, and those kind of things, I think sometimes we talk about them and we just take them for granted. We get into a situation like this, and those kind of sources and those kind of organizations, just, I mean, you're thankful that you have them. Just like, I think it's the same with Legal Aid Works to have you here. It's sort of like, what would we be like without any of these groups, so many of these groups in the area? And in times like this, we really have to appreciate what everyone's able to give back to the community.
What the Community Foundation did, so this is the Community Foundation of the Rappahannock River Region, that's their full name, and it's CFRRR.org. They have set up an emergency fund, and they actually started talking about this last October, I think it was. So they really were ahead of the game. And they said, shouldn't it be a good thing for us to have some kind of an emergency fund so that if something happens, we can really support the community in a way that's practical?
Yeah.
And they did two things. One was they really did a great job of setting this infrastructure up way ahead of time. So I just give them props for looking into the future and anticipating things like this. Then they came up with something that was really, how can I put it, just really streamlined. Most places that have money really make you jump through a lot of hoops, and that's great. They have the money. They can set up the hoops any way they want. But in a time like this, it was so wonderful that they just made the application process. They had integrity. They weren't just going to hand out money to anyone, but they made it less of a difficulty. They didn't require a lot of difficult things that would have been impossible for us to do if we were doing this all remotely. So they came up with some processes that were just super quick, super simple, very streamlined, very geared toward getting the help where it was needed the most. And for a nonprofit, I can't even begin to tell you how, first of all, unusual that is, and secondly, how practical that is. It was wonderful.
If someone wants to get involved and become a donor with Legal Aid Works, they can do that. If you go to legalaidworks.org, all the information's right there.
And we have a donate button right there on the upper right-hand corner. And by all means, just if you have the ability, any amount helps. We are always looking for supporters. We're always looking for in-kind donations of office supplies, things like that. But also just a very practical thing to do to help us is to give us a monetary donation so we can plow it right back in and make sure that the people who are helping our community are able to keep on doing that.
LegalAidWorks.org. If someone's out there and they may have a case that they'd like to talk to you about, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
The best way always is to go through the intake line. So that's open Monday through Thursdays. It's closed on Fridays, and it's open from 9:30 to 12:30, a little break for lunch, and then 1:30 to 3:30. And I'll give you that number. It's 703-778-6800. That's 703-778-6800. That is also listed on our website. Our website is legalaidworks.org, and you can click on the Get Help tab, and it lists all the different ways that you can access our services. And also, it leads you to our resource tab. And even if you aren't able to access our services, you can definitely download lots of free information.
The intake hotline, again, is 703-778-6800 or legalaidworks.org. Ann Klockner here with Legal Aid Works. More coming up. We'll talk about the courts, and we'll talk about paying bills when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 831.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Ann Klockner here this morning. Legal Aid Works is our focus. Ann, I don't know that I've asked you this. I might have in the early days, but if I did, I have forgotten. But when this all hit in March, lawyers have court dates and things are, I wouldn't say rigid, but you do have a schedule. It must have taken a little bit of time to just figure out in this new landscape when things started closing and everything of how you were going to operate.
I think that a lot of lawyers had to deal with that, not just a nonprofit like us, but anyone with court dates. Suddenly, everything that was on your calendar got blown up. Just overnight, you suddenly had no idea when you were going to next have a court date. Sometimes that's okay. Sometimes that was like, whew, good, we get a little bit of breathing room. Other times it was like, oh my gosh, how long is this nightmare going to last for our client? And so putting off court dates, which started pretty much the middle of March, continued through to May. And the disruption of that was really profound. We had a lot of clients who were inconvenienced at the least, and some of them it was really just, oh my gosh, I don't think I can last much longer. For example, like if you're really hoping that you were going to get child support, and then that case got put off. How are you going to feed your kids? How are you going to make ends meet? That was really difficult for a lot of our clients. We could just shrug and say, I'm sorry, the courts are closed. They don't consider that to be an emergency. So it was a lot of juggling at the beginning to figure out where and when and how things were going to be resolved. It made people come to the bargaining table a little bit quicker, I guess. That would be one plus on it, I guess.
Yeah.
So people were more willing to negotiate because they knew, heck, I may not get into court until August. So I better come up with a kind of semi-win-win situation here so I can move on.
With the update us on what's happening with the courts, because it seems like there's not like a blanket answer, because it does seem like the courts are coming back, and it really is kind of a court by court decision.
Sure, and that was the biggest eye opener for us. We always knew. As a practitioner, as somebody who was a litigator, you couldn't possibly miss the big headline was every judge is different.
Hmm. Yeah.
And everybody knew that. We always operated under that assumption, but you had a kind of a rough sense of how the courts were. But it's no question that each one comes up with their own local rules, their own local procedures, what they feel works best for them. And, you know, we've rolled with it, and we got to be fairly familiar with it. But as of the end of March, courts all closed down, but some closed down more than others. Some of them defined what an emergency was a little bit differently than others. When the courts reopened in May, at the middle of May, it was around the 18th of May, again, we found a really wide variety of different approaches. So there were both, no, you can't come in unless we test you. They had thermometers or required masks. Others just said, come on in. Some were saying, here's where you need to sit, and they taped it off. Others didn't. So it was really hard for us to advise our clients. Yes, show up. Don't show up. Show up with a mask. Try to ask for a telephone hearing. No, they don't allow telephone hearings. It was really tough to figure that out. One of the other things that was a challenge for us was we were really hoping, we still hope that this will happen someday, is when you get a notice when your court date is, the court will send you that notice. We're really pushing, and we hope that someday this will happen, that the courts will have a one-page fact sheet and say, here's what you'll need to know when you come to court. This is our rules. This is the list of our rules. So that you would know ahead of time instead of coming to the court, which is where some of them were posting their rules at the courthouse. And we would really, really love it if the court comes up with their rules, and I know that they will, could they just share it ahead of time with especially low-income folks who come on their own. It would be useful if they had that set of rules so that you would know ahead of time, this is what I'm going to expect you to do.
Yeah.
So that's what we're hoping for. We're talking to a few judges in the in our community, our very large 17-county area, and we're hoping we can get some of them to send out those notices with every summons, with every scheduling notice.
I guess I understand, you know, when you talk about, you know, every judge is different, but at the same time, I guess it has surprised me that there hasn't the courts haven't. I would have guessed this would have all been very standardized, and apparently it's not.
Well, the thing that really astonished us is that there kept on being these series of orders from the Supreme Court of Virginia. And you don't need to know a lot about the court system to know that that's the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's kind of, there's no other court in Virginia, no other state court. You know, there's federal courts, and then there's the U.S. Supreme Court. But the Supreme Court of Virginia is pretty much the top of the chart there. And they would issue these edicts, and then the local courts would do whatever. And we were like, really? Seriously? How does that work? We thought that was really a kind of very clear order that the Supreme Court just said, why are you doing something different from that? And again, it comes back to a very fierce independence of each of those courts. They're used to doing things the way that they want to do them because they have local control over their courts. The last time you and I talked 2 weeks ago, there was an order that came out, I think it was June 8th, maybe, and it said that the courts were going to close for evictions. There would be absolutely no evictions through June 28th because they were going to put together a plan that the governor was coming up with to do some kind of rent assistance program for everybody in Virginia. That's still in the works. But what was astonishing was even that clear order that said the Supreme Court said no eviction cases. There were still eviction cases.
Again,
we worked on that. We finally got those to stop. And we think that they're stopped in most places until June 28th. And then we'll just figure out, depending upon what happens this week, because June 28th is this Sunday. So we have to come up with some kind of other plan. Either the Supreme Court's going to issue another delay, putting it off to another date, not just June 28th, or the governor is going to come up with a plan. And we just don't know what that is. So this week is the week we're really watching closely to see either a governor's plan for rent assistance for every Virginian who needs it, or for the Supreme Court to nudge that date back a little bit. We're hoping one or the other is happening and not just, on June 29th, we're going to start up again.
Ian Klockner here with Legal Aid Works. LegalAidWorks.org is their number. Their intake hotline is 703-778-6800. We have talked to a number of times, and it's always worth revisiting when you're here about talking about dealing with paying rent and or dealing with a landlord and that kind of thing. And one of the things you have often gone through is kind of a hierarchy of paying your bills, and we'll talk about that just for a few minutes, because we can talk about unemployment insurance and how that has become such a key thing through all of this. Also, just being able to pay your rent, to pay your mortgage, has become such a big issue for so many people who are dealing with less money or no job right now.
Yeah, and so I think just a few quick things to keep in mind. When things are really scarce, when money is tight, and you really can't make ends meet. You're not able to pay all your bills. That's not a situation that a lot of people like being in. It feels very uncomfortable. People really want to pay their bills. So the first thing I would say is pay attention to your bank account. You want to maybe rethink some of those automatic payments. You might want to look at limiting access to that bank account. You've given authority to some of your creditors already to automatically debit your bank account for payments. You might want to just, first of all, stop that so that you can get control over which creditors are paid first. You can use your bank's bill pay service to make automatic payments. That's great, but that also is something that you can stop. You can control that. So if you do have debt, as a general rule, if you can't pay everything, which you should, but if you can't, you absolutely need to pay your rent or your house payment first. That seems common sense, but we need to say it over and over again. Nothing else matters if you are homeless and out on the street. That cable bill is not important when you don't have a house to run the cable to. So think through what you really need to spend your money on. So the rent or house payment is the absolute first most important one. Underneath that, right next to that, is utility bills that keep the lights on, that keep your water running through your taps, so you can wash your hands frequently, like we're all doing, to maybe start thinking about how you're going to afford that extra amount that comes in the summer when you're cranking up your air conditioning. The next thing after rent or house payments and utility bills would be food, other basic necessities. We're seeing the food bank really getting slammed now because people are finding it so difficult to make those payments, to be able to just walk into a grocery store and pay money for food. That's going to be challenging for people.
Yeah.
The next thing under that would be a car payment if you need that car to go to work, or to do shopping, or essential things like that. There are lots of people in our community who literally would not be able to eat or go to work if they didn't have a car, because there's a lot of places in just in the communities around Fredericksburg, certainly through our outlying areas in our Culpeper and Tappahannock service regions, where if you don't have a car, you're very isolated because you're living out in the country.
Yeah.
And there's no bus service. There's no, you know, rail service going where you need to be. And then the final thing is any other remaining debts, like old debts from old credit cards or things like that. So that's what we have to think about when money gets scarce, is where am I spending my money right now? What can be put off? What is more important than others? What should I be saving up each month for? And for right now, the most important thing is that rent or house payment, because even with a wonderful lawyer from Legal Aid Works, you wouldn't be able to withstand a court challenge when the landlord takes you to court and you haven't paid your rent.
And that's why you always talk about it's important. Stay in touch with that person. If you can't pay, plead your case and do what you can, but don't just ignore that payment or ignore that person or persons.
Right. And we have two very important laws that were just passed during the pandemic that are trying to prevent people from being evicted or foreclosed upon. The first is a state law that says that if you can show up in court with proof, with written proof that you have an income reduction based on the COVID crisis, you lost your job, you were furloughed, you were laid off, whatever. That is something that you can show proof, like maybe an email from your employer saying, don't show up to work. If you can show that to the court, you have an automatic 60-day continuance, that postponement of your eviction case. If you can show that you were affected economically by the pandemic.
Yeah.
So that's huge. That is not 60 days to just say, whoo, I got rent free. Instead, the object of that was to give you time to find out other resources in the community where you could maybe tap into, like the Alice Fund, things like that, that could help you get through this difficult time. The second thing that renters need to know is that if your landlord has a federally backed mortgage, then the CARES Act that was passed in March says that you cannot be evicted if your landlord has a federally backed mortgage until July 25th. After July 25th, the landlord still has to give you 30 days notice. So in practical terms, if your landlord has a federally backed mortgage, and that means Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, a HUD mortgage, a VA mortgage, anything that comes from a federal source, if that is the case, then that landlord has rights and can be able to put off his mortgage payments, and that's why they've extended it to the people who rent from them.
Rent or house payment, utilities, food and necessities, car payment, and old debts. A good reminder of when we're kind of up against it, putting them in a list of what needs to be taken care of. Ann Klogner with Legal Aid Works here this morning, legalaidworks.org. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. The financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubert.
And Klockner here with Legal Aid Works. And one of the things you always provide is you always have great websites or information out there if people are looking for more information.
We always are hoping that people will access websites that have solid, good, reliable, updated information. And that's tough to do in the middle of a pandemic because things change so quickly. I'm going to give you three websites that I really like and I go to regularly. One is vplc.org. That stands for Virginia Poverty Law Center. VPLC.org. It has such a lot of all the kind of handouts and know your rights and helpful little infographics to tell people about their rights on civil legal aid issues just like this. So I would go there first to find out lots and lots of very updated information. It's got English and Spanish, lots of other languages. It's a great source for information, vplc.org. Another one is the National Consumer Law Center. So that's nclc.org, National Consumer Law Center. So that's nclc.org. It's a guide to surviving debt. It talks about exactly what we were just talking about, that hierarchy of how to pay debt, mm-hmm. being careful about high-interest loans at this point, limiting access to your bank account so that they aren't creditors aren't deciding who gets your money first. You decide. Just very, very helpful, practical information. And then finally, anything that leads you to a legal aid organization, the central website for all legal aids in Virginia is VALegalAid.org. Has lots and lots of know your rights, helpful tips for representing yourself, things like that. So VALegalAid.org.
VALegalAid.org, NCLC.org, or VPLC.org, and also LegalAidWorks.org around here. And again, you mentioned your intake hotline number is 703-778-6800, and you can get some information and talk to a person there. And thank you so much again. Great information here. There's just a lot of navigating that we all need to do. And you have been a great resource through all of this. And as we continue on, and then this is going to continue on, and we'll continue to talk to you every few weeks to get updates. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ted. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Ann Klockner, Legal Aid Works, legalaidworks.org. That's it. We'll see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. The financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.